to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour we'll be listening to music that one of jazz's most legendary figures recorded when he emerged from retirement in the early 1980s. It's Star on Miles, the return of Miles Davis, coming up next on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Davis in the beginning of the Porgy and Bess tune, My Man's Gone Now, from the album We Want Miles. We're featuring music of Miles Davis from the early 1980s on this edition of Night Lights. From 1945 to 1975, Miles Davis participated in or helped to lead some of the most significant changes in jazz, from bebop, cool, and hard bop to modal jazz and fusion. But in 1975, plagued by health problems and perhaps sensing that he had pushed as far as he could creatively for the time being, Davis went into an unofficial retirement, withdrawing into his New York City home, where, by his own account, he spent the next 5 years watching television, engaging in personal excess, and hardly ever picking up his trumpet. There were several attempts at recording sessions, but Davis did not fully reemerge onto the jazz scene until 1981, first playing with a band of young Chicago musicians that included his nephew Vince Wilburn, then putting together a group that included up-and-coming talents such as guitarist Mike Stern, bassist Marcus Miller, and saxophonist Bill Evans. Davis's chops would take time to regain form, and his initial recordings and performances, eagerly anticipated in the jazz world, were not always well received. Some of his younger musicians, such as Stern, were stung by the notices they got for what critics heard as a less than challenging and pop rockish tilt to their work. But in general, audiences were simply happy to have the trumpeter back and performing again. We'll hear two live versions of tunes that appeared on Davis's 1981 comeback album, The Man with the Horn, starting off with Backseat Betty, a title that refers to Davis's wife of the late 1960s, R&B singer Betty Mabry, and a tune, as Davis scholar Ian Carr notes, at times has a similar feel to Miles Runs the Voodoo Down from the trumpeter's landmark Bitches Brew album. Miles Davis and Backseat Betty on Nightlights. Thank you. Jean-Pierre, a rather maddeningly infectious melody, allegedly based on a French folk or children's song, and one of Miles Davis's signature tunes during his 1980s comeback years from the album We Want Miles, from the same album we heard Black Betty. Davis's next studio album, Star People, marked the last time that he would complete a project with the assistance of two key long-term creative partners, arranger Gil Evans and producer Teo Mercero, who figured heavily in many of the trumpeter's greatest albums. Guitarist John Scofield describes Evans during this period constantly listening to tapes of the Davis Band, writing out many of the musicians' improvised solos and turning them into themes. The music on Star People was much more vibrant than The Man with the Horn, reflecting Miles's improved playing and creative re-engagement. Writer George Cole calls it dense chromatic funk, but also notes that it was steeped in the blues. Davis played keyboards on the record as well as trumpet. Here he is doing the title track from Star People on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Miles Davis performing excerpted versions of Speak and the title track from his 1983 album Star People, a project that marked the end of Davis's collaborations with both arranger Gil Evans and producer Tio Marcero. We'll have more of Miles Davis's early 1980s comeback music in just a few moments. Production support for this program comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, located on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Star on Miles, the return of Miles Davis on Nightlights. Playing music that trumpeter Miles Davis recorded in the early 1980s after a 5-year hiatus on this edition of Nightlights. Throughout his career, Davis had ushered many new young jazz talents onto the scene, and his band in the early 1980s included artists such as saxophonist Bill Evans, bassist Marcus Miller and Daryl Jones, and guitarist Mike Stern and John Scofield. For his 1984 album Decoy, he recruited saxophonist Branford Marcellus, who along with his brother Winton had already made a name for himself playing with Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. Decoy, with its reliance on synthesizers and drum machines, reflected an 80s technological sound that some found off-putting, exacerbated perhaps by Davis's increasing tendency to spend less time in the studio and let others such as co-producer Robert Irving handle arrangements and rehearsals. But the mix of funk, blues, and electronics benefits from the infusion of strong soloing from Marcellus and Scofield, and musician Jim Sangre calls Decoy probably the most intriguing album of the Columbia era. Here the music actually hints pretty strongly at a return to the abstraction of Miles' second quintet of the 1960s, albeit in totally different clothing. Miles Davis and the title track from Decoy on Nightlights. Thank you. Trumpeter Miles Davis with the title track from his 1984 album Decoy, featuring a young Branford Marsalis on soprano sax. One of the most critically respected albums that Davis made during his Columbia 80s comeback period didn't even come out until several years after the trumpeter left the label. It grew out of a prize that the Danish Soning Committee awarded to Davis in 1984, a prize that previously had gone to classical composers such as Dmitri Shostakovich. The winner was required to perform at the awards ceremony, and the committee commissioned Danish composer Paul Mikkelborg, who counted jazz, classical, avant-garde, and electronics among his influences, to write something for Davis. The resulting 7-part work so inspired the trumpeter that several months later he flew back to Denmark to record it with Mikkelborg in a large ensemble. Some have compared it to the orchestrated albums that Davis made with Gil Evans in the late 1950s, and several years later in his autobiography the trumpeter would write, "I think it's a masterpiece, I really do." Miles Davis and the White Movement from Aura on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Miles Davis and White from his 1985 collaboration with Paul Mickelborg, Aura. In 1985, Davis would end his 30-year stay with Columbia by signing with Warner Brothers, ostensibly unhappy over his old label's devotion to rising star Wynton Marsalis and their reluctance to issue the Aura Sessions. His final album for Columbia, You're Under Arrest, featured two contemporary pop tunes, Michael Jackson's Human Nature and Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time, that drew scorn from jazz critics, but which became concert staples for the rest of the trumpeter's career. Davis scoffed at the criticism, and his defenders pointed out that he had based much of his early career on pop tunes such as My Funny Valentine. As always, he was going to do exactly what he wanted to do. Musician Jim Sangre, in summing up Miles' early 1980s return, says, "I think at this point Miles probably considered all the options, musical as well as personal, did the been there, done that thing, and decided to have a good life, get some acclaim, some star treatment, and some popular recognition. God knows he was entitled to all of that and more. And the bands he led were, in my opinion, superbly musical examples of what instrumental jazz pop could and should be. Plenty of sensual rhythm, lush texture, and very distinctive, passionate lead voices. If it's that easy, why doesn't everybody do it?" Challenged by health and personal issues and a 5-year layoff, Miles Davis managed to return to the jazz scene and contribute another controversial chapter to his considerable legacy. And he wasn't done yet. There were still a few more years and a few more albums to go. Miles Davis and Time After Time on Nightlights. Thank you. We closed with the 1985 Montreal broadcast version of Miles Davis doing Time After Time. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights. Special thanks to Ross Lawson and Jim Sangre. You can hear many previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, located on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.